This is Pivot Perspectives with Chris O'Byrne, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and relevant people on the planet. Hear their stories and get the most important business lessons they've learned on their road to success, and get exclusive access on how to implement their success into your life and business. Pivot Perspectives is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board and your host, Chris O'Byrne.
All right, Michelle Williams, thank you and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So I'm excited to learn a lot more about My Kind of Dad and all the, it's incredible work you're doing there. But let's jump back to childhood. What are some things that happened or affected you to bring you to this point where you're doing this now?
So when I was a little girl, I just remember the first form of abuse. I suffered a lot as a child. First form of abuse was the babysitter sitting on me. I couldn't breathe. She covered my nose and mouth. She had just got done slapping me. She said, "If you tell your mother, I'll do it again." And at that tender age, I knew if I told my mom, that wasn't going to happen again. So I told. And that didn't happen again. I started being sexually molested at 4 and 5 years old, because my father was an alcoholic. So the people that he was bringing around were alcoholics as well. So I started being touched at that age. And because he was an alcoholic and he suffered with PTSD, my last punch in the face by him was when I was 14. And I didn't have the protection of my mother because she was an enabler dealing with her own issues that dealt with mental health. By the time I was 15, you know, I thought I was grown, you know, I'm going over here to hang out with my friends over in a bad neighborhood. And I watched someone get murdered. I had dealt with so much because, you know, the expression, what goes on this house stays in this house. So I wasn't able to tell things. And because of that, by the time I was 20, I had a nervous breakdown. And then by the time I was 21, I was being raped on my living room floor at knife point by someone who was secretly living in my attic for 2 months. So, you know, we could add the H on to the little elves, right?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
H. Right. Yeah. So I wrote a book entitled Nobody Ever Told Me. All of this happened to me as a child. And I had to learn forgiveness. I had to literally learn forgiveness because I had so much hate in my heart.
Man, that is, yeah. So what was the path like that led you to where you're at now? Well, imagine there's a lot of transformation along the way.
Yeah. So when I was 16, I had gotten into so many fights. I was getting in trouble in school. You know, I just couldn't catch a break. It was like one thing after the other. They didn't know what was going on at home. And if they did, they didn't say anything. CPS was called at one time. That did not help me when I was a youngster. But when I was 16, I went to God and I said, "God, if you help me forgive my parents, I'll serve you." And for some reason, something miraculous happened. I was able to start having a relationship with my father, who quit drinking that very year. We started working on our relationship. It wasn't like the greatest, but it was a start because I had never had a father to do those things. I never got to sit on his lap. I never heard, "I love you." There was never the hugs from neither one of them. So I suffered a whole lot of loss when it came to love. God was teaching me forgiveness, and he started restoring my mother and I's relationship when I got in my early 20s. When that started happening, one thing I did learn from my parents was my father was such a comedian. He was a drunk comedian, like that. Everybody's laughing at this drunk, you know. And my mother was very given, very nurturing. We always had a house full of people. She fed people. She took people in just all the time. So when I got older, what brought me to where I am now, I have this company called My Kind of Dad. And my husband is like the best guy ever. He loves the children. He's like the dad that I had never seen. So one day I looked at him and I was like, God, if I had to ever do it again, you'd be the kind of dad that I'd want. And I said, you know, you're my kind of dad. So I named my company after him, My Kind of Dad. So all of that, where I did not get the love, I didn't get the presence, I didn't get anything, all of that brought me to where I am today to help children to not have to suffer that. If their parent has to go to jail, let me help fill that void for them. Let me help bridge that gap to where maybe the parent and the child could work on their relationship through writing letters, you know? Or just fill in where we can fill, where we could bridge the gap. That's what we do.
Yeah. So tell me all about My Kind of Dad. What is everything you do with that?
There's so many things that we do, but one of them is, like I said, bridging the gap between the parent. So I hand make these 3-foot tall teddy bear balloons, custom make them to anything that the child likes. So if they like Frozen, we created as Frozen. We put tutus on them. I even made one for a little boy, a Stevie Wonder one. Like I put the little black glasses and had a gold to the back of the ear. And I mean, that child was smiling from ear to ear. So we make those really, really, really big, tall balloons for them. We also get them keepsake boxes. So when the balloon deflates, they'll have that and they can take the letter from mom and dad that we get from the parents. They put that in a box. What I like about that concept is, I don't know if you know, but when you have a little girl or an old girlfriend from way back then, or even your sister or somebody, if a boy gives them a letter, they will hold that letter and they will read it. And it's almost like, he loves me. He loves me, you know?
Precious. Just,
yes. So I figured if we give them a keepsake box, they put the balloon in there and they put the letter in there. In the middle of the night when they roll over and their heart is broken, or they come home from school and a father has come to the school and picked their child up, and that child that doesn't have a parent is looking around like, I wish my parent was there. They could pull their letter out and just read it, you know, and they can fill that void that they did not have that parent, but they have the words of the parent, because words are so powerful. So we give them a box to keep everything in, the deflated balloon and the letter or letters. So we take care of the kids. We give them resources. There was one lady, her son had gone into prison. And when he went into prison, his child was born that day. So he didn't even get to see the baby be born. So the grandmother is left with the child. So we go over and we give money. You know, we give monies ourselves. We give Pampers. We bring food. Every year for Christmas, we make sure that we service the same families until, you know, it's almost like something called Angel Tree, where my kids were younger, because their dad, now my husband I got now, is great, but their actual biological father was in prison. And they would bring like 2 presents for the kids. And I was so appreciative to get those 2 presents. I want to give them, these kids, something more. I want to fill them. I want to fill them. So sometimes we have the kids come over and we let them just go through and just get as many toys as they want. Make them feel, I mean, we give them a day. And this year, now we're in 2024, but as of this cycle of Christmas, earlier this year, our son was killed, shot and killed. He was a model. He's 32 years old. He was out partying with his friends. He ended up in someone's backyard, the wrong backyard, passed out. And someone shot a warning shot. And when he jumped up, he was startled. He ran right towards the guy, and the guy shot him with a shotgun and killed him. So this year, we were not able to do what we do for the families, because we needed to heal ourselves as a family. But there was one particular family that had five children, and the parents are in prison. Both parents are in prison. So this year I created a winter wonderland in my house. And of course I put Mariah Carey on, a dancing music, and I let them, I took all this like cotton out of, I create. So, you know, like in the backyard, we have like those, you know, the cushions and all that stuff out there that you're not using in the winter. We took hours and just broke all of that up and just spread it all around the house.
Oh, man.
Created this. We put about four trees in the house. It was just beautiful, hanging snow. And we played the music and the kids were just able to just come through the whole winter wonderland because I wanted to give them an experience that they were not going to be able to have because both their parents were away. Even though our hearts were broken, it still helped us. It helped us to, you know, to help someone else. And I was so happy to see those children, you know, smile because grief doesn't just come in one package. You know, for us, we're grieving because our son was shot and killed. He was a model, never in any trouble, doesn't have a record. And that happened to him. These children are innocent children. They didn't ask for that. So they're grieving for their parents. We're grieving for our son. So what better than to do to make someone else happy? And that's what we did. And I didn't go all out this year the way that we typically do. We just kind of did that. And now we're just taking care of each other as we are getting through this ourselves.
Yeah. So you do quite a bit then. Are all the parents in prison, or are there other situations that you sometimes deal with?
Yeah, so for that particular, yes, they are in prison. But we do go out, like I go to the nursing home sometime, and I go in and ask, is there someone that does not get visitors? And they'll say yes, and I'll make them the prettiest 3-foot-tall teddy bear balloon. And I'll go sit it in a chair where it sits right there. And it's just the cutest thing looking at them. And there was another lady who was very adamant about going into the nursing home. She was like, I want to be home, you know, very upset. And I bought her one. So she had something really cute to sit next to her while she was in the lobby. And it really helped her. I'll call back and check on them sometime. I just spoke with the DA's office for the, they have like a criminal, I really can't think of the name of it, but there's a program that they have where I guess it's something with the crimes where people do get killed and the children are left behind. And I started speaking with them. So I'm going to be making my teddy bear balloons for those children as well.
Oh, nice. So yeah, you can expand out quite a bit then with what you do.
Oh, yeah.
There's
yeah.
So many people in need.
Yeah. And I like to bring joy to people.
Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
What are some of the most valuable lessons you've learned along the way?
I've learned that let me tell you what I really learned. Life is literally about one of the things that I learned is life is literally about choices. Okay. Even though I was abused, severely abused, I didn't have the family. I didn't have my grandmother. We just didn't have what we needed. As I grew up, I did learn that I can make my own choices for my own life to better my own life. And I do not have to go off of what I grew up in. I grew up without having my grandmother because my father was, he was mixed with so much, but he was Indian and my mother was Black. She did not accept my Black mother. So us children were called the little bastards.
Mm.
So because we were the little bastards, she did not introduce us to any of our family. And there was white in the family. There was, you know, light skin. And because we were not light skin, and my mom, she used to call my mom the Black BITC, you know. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Right. So my mom was never accepted. My father was an only child, so we never got to learn that. But my thing was this. I now am a nana. I'm a grandmother, right? I refuse to do the same thing to my grandchildren that was done to me. So when my grandchildren come, I mean, I extend those arms before I see them coming through the door. I always make sure that they have the love. So the lesson that what I've taken from that is just because it happened to me, it does not mean that it has to happen to them. Just because I was severely abused as a child does not mean that I have to raise my children the way that I was raised. So I change the dynamics for their life. And my children have an awesome life. When I look at them, it's almost like they're looking like, what, Mom? What happened? You know? But yeah. that took a lot of work on my
what
part.
What a gift. Yeah, what a gift you're giving to them, though, to not have to have those same struggles.
Yeah, yeah. But I took the good. You know, my father, you know, he always made people laugh. And I took that. So I make people laugh all the time. I'll throw a little joke. My mom always fed people, always took care of people. So, you know, we did. We have taken in 5 foster children and we adopted all 5 of the boys.
Mm.
We adopted nice. Them. And their names are like, they're not brothers. Only one set of them is brothers. And we're about to go and get that other brother. He had to just kind of go through some lessons before he can be here. But my husband's name is Jay, right? His son, his name was Davon, but my husband wants the boys to be Jay. So my husband is Jay. We have little Jay. We have Jalen. We have Jaden. We have James, J-A-Y-M-E-S. You know, we like have all these J's. We have Juan. We would have named Juan different, but Juan's father is in his life, but Juan's father is over in Mexico. So we didn't want to mess. We didn't want to tap into that. But he said, I need the last name Williams too. So we just put it on the end of him and his father's name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
is he happy with that?
Oh, God, is he? Is he? Yeah. He's like, all I just want to be is a Williams. I was like, hey, buddy, you got it. Oh, that's all you want? Nothing else? Oh, thanks.
Well, that was easy.
Yes. So, yeah.
That's wonderful. So who are some of the people who were influential in your life? People who were like mentors?
Like my pastor, her name is Pastor Armour. And then there was a lady, her name is Miss V. And Miss V was more like a mother to me. So, you know, after going through all of this stuff, I was about 27 years old. And I was just done with life. I was in this bad relationship with this guy who was just not it, okay? At all. And it's like I was just done with being nice, being helping people and going out of my way and always getting the dirty end of the stick. And I had just come to my wits end and I was in the bathroom and I stuck my head in the whole toilet bowl. I just fell on the floor, put my head in the toilet bowl, and I was just like, God, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I just, you know, he was cheating on me, you know, just the whole thing, just a lot of stuff. And I said, I don't want to do this anymore. So I just put my head in the toilet and I said, God, today's the day I'm going to die. And in my head, because I was crying, I said, God, I have $1 in my pocket. I said, if you allow someone to give me $20 without me asking, I'll live. I'll serve you for real. I said, I'll serve you for real. I'm walking down the street, going to the doctor, and my daughter was 4 years old at the time, walking down the street, and this lady pulls out in front of me. And as she's pulling out, it's almost like she was almost like to hit me because she didn't see me. And I step back and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And when that happened, we began to converse a little, and she says, I'm so sorry. She says, you know, we're talking. She says, do you believe in angels? And I said, yes. She says, well, there's going to be a show on tonight at 8:00. You should watch it. And I told her, sure. Yeah, sure. So as I'm getting ready to walk off, she says, would you be offended? And I said, for what? And she handed me $20.
Oh, talk about angels.
Yes. I mean, I was like, man, God, you really are real. Like, who does that? You know, like, one minute I'm sitting, like, my whole face is in this dirty toilet bowl. I'm feeling like the pit of the pit, like that. I'm just like feeling so broken. I'm so broken that I felt like I wanted to equate to a toilet bowl. And I felt like the toilet bowl was better off than I was. And then God flips it and says, honey, you're better than you think you are. I love you. I want you. And you know what? This is right where I need you, in a broken place. Because when you're broken, I can mold you and put you back together again. I can do that. You can't do it, but I can. And I just felt like, ooh, I was so confused, but I was so happy at the same time. Like, you really are listening to me? And I was like, what? Know. Oh, you mean I got superpowers? I didn't know I had a cape. I had to look back like, what's on my cape? Like, what is on my cape? So that lady, to this day, and that was when I was like 27. What I didn't know was, as I had my face in a toilet bowl, she was standing over her kitchen sink crying because her two children had just gone off to college and she had empty nest syndrome. Whoa. And she was praying the prayer, God, if I have any mothering skills, please let me help some young mother. And there wow. She pulls out, and there she pulls out and almost hits me. And there I get $20. And I get $20, and God saves my life.
That's incredible. Oh.
It's so amazing. Like, sometimes when I tell a story, I cry. Like, it's just so, it means so much to me. Like, that day, I realized God really did love me, because I, you know, even though my mom, God was restoring our relationship, I was never truly mothered.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here God sends this lady to mother me. And she has seen me through so much, you know. She would just encourage me, and she would help me and take care of me and come see my children. And I didn't have to, you know, because I was beat so bad, I didn't want my mother and them around my kids. No, you're not going to hurt mine. But I trusted her, and I allowed my children to sit on her lap. And you know, I really just felt like I really have a mother, like somebody. And you know what? What I like about her, she loved me, but she also chastised me when I needed it. She didn't allow me to just be spoiled, because she had money, and she was always like doing little things. It's not even so much having the money, but every year she'd always make sure my kids had the new coats, new this, or we always had the food, or we always had that. And I didn't have that from, you know, my mom that way. So, but she also let me know that I had to balance, and I had to budget, and I had to do all these things that I never learned. And here I was 27 years old, just trying to find my way through life. Like, what is life, you know? So she was Miss V. She's the lady. So between her, my pastor, Pastor Armour, who's a strong prayer warrior, always praying for me, always told me, girl, you're beautiful. And I didn't feel it. Girl, you are beautiful. And I'm just looking like, what are you looking at? You know, but she, you know, and she instilled the power for me of Jesus Christ in my life. She really helped me understand. And then her sister Hopgood, who's a therapist, You know, she's just a therapist. And so it provoked me to go to school for psychology because, you know, I want to know stuff. I want to help people. I want to be smart in what I'm saying to people. I want to know what I'm talking about. So all of that just played a big part of my life. I can name people. And if I'm looking at TV, I'm like, Oprah, my girl, I want to meet her like yesterday's peach pie. I love me some Oprah. I've followed her and her sayings and her doings, you know, because she's come from humble beginnings as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah, she's been amazing.
I love her. If I had, you know, they said, if I had one wish, boy, it would be her. I'd want to meet her. Like, you could stop life right there. Pull the plug. I'm only kidding, man. I'm only kidding. Listen. Don't take those words. I don't want to die right there, but listen.
Just saying.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, but she, now her, oh, I'd love to meet her. She's just like her. And just so many women that are out there that are just doing things that help society, like those Mother Teresa's, you know, just put my arms around Mother Teresa. I know she's gone, but someone like her. And that's what I like to look at myself as when, you know, we all have to live and we all have to die. And when I pass away, it'd be nice if they was like, you know, that Michelle was really a big hearted woman. Because when I think of Mother Teresa, that's all I think about, big hearted woman. When I think of Oprah, I just think of this woman that is making things happen. And she's so strong, you know, and humble and vulnerable at the same time.
Yeah. She's a good role model for sure.
Yeah. Yep. So those are my people. If I think of anybody else, I'll throw it in later. But right now,
you got it.
Those are the ones that helped me literally make it through.
So what would your parting words of wisdom be for the person listening or reading?
I said, who says we have to part? I know you got to go. No, but I'm kidding. So what I would say is, you know, when I got about 30 years old, I took out some me time. Because a lot of times in life, with all the things that are happening in life, all the things that may have happened to me in life or to someone else, the thing is, if you take out me time, you could really learn more about yourself. And when you learn more about yourself and you begin to truly dig deep in and love yourself, you won't be out looking for that love from others to fill that void that you have. You literally have to dig into yourself. And I always say this, we were born naked, literally butt naked. We didn't come out with clothes, nail polish, hair fix, lipstick. We didn't come out looking all pretty. We came out messy. We came out slimy. We literally came out naked. Right now in our life and in our time with the things that are going on, there's a lot of slime.
So what would be the one place that you would like to send people to learn more about you?
.com. And you can find me on all social media there. Anything that you want, my book, my music, my clothing line, everything. I'm a serial entrepreneur with a charitable heart.
I know that bug. That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and for sharing so much. And I'll make sure all your links are in the show notes and people will be able to get in touch with you and find out more.
Oh, thank you, Chris. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Okay, honey. You have a good one.
Thanks for listening to Pivot Perspectives with your host, Chris O'Byrne. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advice on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we will see you on the next episode.